Scripture reading this morning, as you see, is Ephesians 6, 13 through 20. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with the truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And pray on my behalf, that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth, to make known as the boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it, I may speak boldly as I ought to speak.
Thank you, Brother Brooke, for the prayer. Thank you, Brother Doug, for the song service thus far. It surprises me, but nevertheless, the Lord never continues to just continually surprise me on how things line up. Just perfect. I never spoke with Doug one bit about what my sermon was about, and every song was 1, 2, 3, and 4 in my lesson. Brooke, your prayer is almost stand 5. Word for word. The Lord works in each and every one of us, whether you know it or not. Just because we are separate individuals does not mean that one spirit, the spirit of life, does not tie us together. Thank you for being here. It takes aptitude and desire on a day like this to come out and to worship God, which is why you're here. God bless our visitors for being here. We're always privileged to have you here. Always hear what you got to say. The evil one, the enemy, the adversary, the prince of lies, the father of all lies, Beelzebub, the devil, the serpent, Satan. You've read about him. Now we're going to learn about him. Take up the full armor of God. If there was an apt name for this sermon, it would be a chink in one's armor. A chink is a weakness or a flaw in one's armor. We must continue to understand that everything that God provides to each and every one of us is providential. It is all-powerful. It is all-encompassing. There is no weakness in what God provides. The only weakness in God's armor is the weakness we give it by not accepting it by faith. So us having exposed our very powerful and deceitful enemy and his demonic armies, we are commanded to put on a full armor of God so that we are able to stand and to stand firm with his schemes. Since our opposition consists of spiritual powers. Spiritual powers of wickedness in the heavenly places, we are commanded to take up this full armor of God, which is divinely given. And it is very spiritual in nature. In order that each and every one of us may be able to resist these strong attacks and these wicked forces. The scriptures tell us that we are to stand our ground firmly, not to give an inch, and to be immovable. When we resist the devil, he will flee from you. James chapter 4, verse 7. When we stand firm in one spirit and with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, we will in no way be alarmed by this opposition. There is great strength in united forces, brethren. If one man can lift 100 pounds and another man can lift 100 pounds, if they lift it together, they can lift 300, 400, even sometimes 500 pounds. But how can that be? This man can only lift 100 and this man can only lift 100. How come when they work together, they can lift more than double and sometimes three times? Think about how God designed this world. Not even He, by Himself, created it by Himself. When we are united in spirit and in mind and in truth, we are the victorious Church of Christ. We are not commanded to attack, but to resist. To stand firm and not to advance. Our adversary is deceitful, and he is the father of all lies. We must remember that his murderous characteristics, because he is the master of disguise. Do not underestimate him. For even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. You see, what a lot of people don't understand is that he is the deceiver who attacks your mind with lies and tries to pervert the true words of God. He is the destroyer who attacks your bodies with sufferings and attempts to make you doubt God's providential care. Brother Herbert, that's 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 11 and 14. He is the ruler of darkness and wants to usurp the authority of God so that he may rule in your life for evil. He is the accuser to wear you down and to wear down your resistance as you begin to allow guilt to weigh heavy on your heart. He will use the weak against the strong. He will use the fleshly against the spiritual. He will use the husband against the wife, and the wife against her husband. Nothing is sacred in this person's life. He will put rebellion in the hearts of your children. He will use slow against fast. He will use up against down. He will use white versus black. He will use sour versus sweet. Any difference that there is that could come between you and I and our Lord, he will make a major issue of it. He wants to destroy the church. He wants to destroy the marriage. He wants to destroy your home. He wants to claim your soul. He wants to divide the kingdom of God. He wants to defile the holy temple. He wants to cripple the Lord's army. You see, Satan can't touch Jesus. At the cross, he was defeated. The power that was his, the power of sin and death, Jesus took away from him. The only way Satan can get towards Jesus and get back at God is through his children. In verse 13, it makes it clear that one cannot stand firm until he has done everything required of God. One must accept the invitation to be on the winning team. One must be submissive to the will of the Lord. One must be teachable and willing to grow and to mature. We are to meekly accept the Lord's instruction, which by obeying leads unto salvation. He must be of great faith in the power of the Lord, not in of himself, in the power of the Lord, and trust in the fact that the Lord is the true victor in war and is already victorious. He's called the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We must receive this armor that is issued by God. We must take it up and we must put it on. And having done everything, stand firm. Number one, having girded your loins with truth. You see, the girdle belt on an armor is the foundation of the armor. Everything rests upon it. And with God's armor, it is completely bound and held together by God's truth. The truth is the word of God. John 17, 17. Psalm 119, verse 60. Once it is securely in place, the other armor attaches to the girdle and it's held in its correct place. The truth is in opposition of all lies and all deceit. The truth is in opposition to all that is false. Knowing and practicing the truth, one will not easily be swayed by false doctrine. Number two, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate protects all the vital organs from the chest to the waist. This righteousness is not earned, nor is it deserved, but it is accounted to you through faith in Christ Jesus. The scripture declares that being found in him, who is Jesus, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. That is Philippians 3, verse 9. And since this righteousness does not require our perfection, we do not fall under the accusations of Satan or any who try to judge those who are in Christ Jesus. That is spiritual fact. This includes fault finders, internal and external. See, those people who look for any little thing to confront you and to condemn you. But these are not from God, brethren. For he cleanses each and every one of you of all unrighteousness, and forgives us our sins and remembers them no more. When we stumble or fall into temptation, oh boy. You see, the devil would have you believe that you can never make it to heaven. And as a congregation, we are failing. The devil would have us to believe we can never find forgiveness and that we are not worthy to be called Christians. Brethren, God knows our unworthiness. That's why at an appointed time he sent his son, Jesus Christ, the righteous, to become our righteousness and then for us to become the righteousness of God in him. Doubt of God's great love and mercy comes from Satan, brethren. When Satan causes doubt of Jesus' care and his passion for his church and each and every member? Well, that's just a lie. It's a lie of the devil. Do not be deceived, brethren. Sometimes, brethren, it is very prevalent and obvious that some here do not hold a very high image of themselves. I am speaking of some of us who appear as if we have been devalued in some way and portray a personal sense of little or no actual value. And that is a shame. What is value, brethren? Value is the cost of purchase, the purchase price. That is the value. So tell me, brethren, you already know the answer. What was the price God was willing to pay for you? You need to know this. What did God give up to buy back your soul? He gave up his most valuable possession, the life of his only begotten Son. There is no higher value than that, brethren. There is none. Now tell me how valuable you really are. The scriptures do not say in vain that love has none greater than this, than one give his life for a friend. Our Lord and Savior beheld such a high image of you and me that he was willing to give his life for ours. That is your value. Let no one, and I mean no one, let you ever devalue you or tell you otherwise of how valuable you really are. You see, for if your faith is in the perfect performance and the obedience of Jesus Christ, your standing with God has not... It just doesn't change, brethren, just because we are not perfect in all things. It hasn't changed just because we're not all perfect here at the Hickman Road Church of Christ. Nothing has changed. We don't have a full-time preacher. You're right. We have 5 part-time preachers. Has anyone been any less spiritually fed? Where God requires of us, he provides for us. Yes, we can have one preacher full-time. But this is the time God has appointed for us to step aside and look at ourselves and look at the congregation as a whole. Number 3, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your forbearing spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4, verses 4 through 7. We are to walk in newness of life, brethren. Chapter 6, verse 4. We are to walk in a manner worthy of our high calling, because we march with the King in his victory. In addition to all taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one. Verse 16. Our faith is the victory over Satan. It is the victory over sin. It is the victory over ourself, and it is the victory over the world. By faith we know Satan has already been defeated, for he has already been judged. By faith we know those who overcome are those whose faith is in the Son of God. And nothing changes the eternal truth of God. Nothing. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Isaiah 40, verse 8. Read the Revelation and see who wins and get on the winning team. Believe it by faith and watch the Revelation become a reality in your life. Satan is powerless against those who trust in the Lord. His fiery darts are extinguished without doing the intended harm. Now for your head, take up the helmet of salvation. The helmet, the hope of salvation. A man with a crown on his head looks very regal. He looks very prestigious. He looks kingly. In his pomp and in his pride, he looks royal and proud. But a man with a helmet of salvation humbly looks heavenward. No matter what we might suffer physically, brethren, no matter how hard we struggle spiritually, we know that it is not the end for us. We know this. Heaven is our eternal home, and we wait, and we watch for His coming daily. External circumstances do not alter spiritual reality. Physical ailment does not change spiritual promises. At one time, at the God's appointed time, we will all die. And thus God has not required our soul before our Lord and Savior comes back. This is a fact, brethren. And we all must have the same view of death, and we must teach it to our children, and we must teach it to the people outside of these walls. It's that which releases us from a fleshly body and sets the spirit free for eternal bliss. And according to the scriptures, there will be mockers, there will be blasphemers, cursing, swearings, doubt casters, and fear mongers. And for such ungodliness, we are given an offensive weapon. And take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Thus says the Lord God. That's my confidence. Is it yours? It is written. That is my conviction. Is it yours? It is written. This is not some handed down tradition or myth. God has spoken to mankind in His Son. Hebrews 1 verse 1. We have His word, we have His sure promises. You see, it is He who is faithful, not us. It is He who is faithful, and it is He who will do it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 24. Remember that verse. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 24. It is He who will do it, and it is not us. That is the most powerful weapon, and it has been given to each and every one of us who have obeyed this gospel. The Word of God is divinely powerful. Every word God sent will accomplish its given purpose. The Scripture does not say in vain that not a word will return to Him empty. Isaiah 55 and 11. Finally, the key to a victorious spiritual warfare. Number 7, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. We are to put on the armor in the spirit of prayer. because we are being prepared continually for spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare is begun and it is won in prayer. Are you familiar with the battle between Israel and Amalek? Read it sometime. Exodus 17. While Joshua led the Israelites against the enemy, Moses, Aaron, and Hur stood upon the hill overlooking the battleground. While Moses held his hands heavenward in prayer, the Israelites prevailed over Amalek. And when Moses' hands became heavy, they put a stone under him to sit upon. And Aaron held up one of Moses' hands, and Hur held up the other. And again, Israel prevailed. And Moses built an altar to the Lord there and named it, "The Lord is my banner." The same thing happened in the days of King Jehoshaphat. The united forces of the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Meunites came up against the king's forces in Judah, highly outnumbering them. Jehoshaphat, the first thing he did, he called for a congregational prayer meeting. You'd think he would tell the men, take his courage and sharpen your weapons. Let's form up. He called a congregational prayer meeting. He knew the battle was going to begin in prayer, it was going to be fought with prayer, and it was going to end in prayer, and they were going to be victorious in prayer. His prayer is one of the finest recorded in all of the Bible, and I encourage you to read it. It's in Exodus chapter 17, verses 8 through 15. I'm sorry. I was wrong there. Look at that. Even I fail on a continual basis. Ain't that amazing? I was completely wrong there. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 5 through 13. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 5 through 13. That's where you'll see that prayer. Amazing. It's heartfelt. It's moving. I won't read the whole prayer, but let's read the closing and see if it rings a bell with any of us. O our God, will you not judge them? We are not powerless before this great multitude who are coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are on thee. And all of Judah was standing before the Lord with their infants and their wives and their children. Then in the midst of the assembly, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, the Levite of the sons of Asaph. And he said, "Listen, all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat. Thus says the Lord to you, do not fear or be dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's." 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 15. Here at the close of the epistle to the Ephesians, Paul tells the saints to pray for one another, and then he requests that he be prayed for. Isn't Paul kind of a hero of the Bible? He's always been one of my heroes. You'd think a man with such stature might have a big head with all the power God endued to him. And here he is requesting humbly, pray for me. Paul tells him to pray on my behalf, that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth, to make known the boldness of the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in my proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Paul asked the Colossians to pray for him, and also the saints in Thessalonica. Paul knew that the prayer could prepare the people and call down divine power against any opposition, even before he arrived with the gospel. The example of prayer preceding the warfare is repeated in Scripture enough, Old Testament and New Testament, to give us a divine pattern. A divine pattern for fighting spiritual warfare. You see, when the church prays together, heaven listens. When we pray together, we can expect the impossible from God, who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, beyond all of what we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. That is the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of life. Let God be praised for this great gift that He has given and bestowed upon each and every one of us. Amen. Is there a chink in your armor? Is there a weakness? Very simple, brethren. Believe the Word of God. Believe in God's providence. Do not trust in this flesh bag that He gives us. As you get older and older, God helps you realize how worthless this bag we have really is. You see, Jesus took no trust in it. Jesus told us all and showed us all what this fleshly tent was good for. It's good for a cross. The flesh is against the spiritual. And He gave His life so that each and every one of us can lead a life of example by following His, by crucifying our flesh and living in the Spirit. Thank you all for coming today. On behalf of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we offer the invitation for any and all who desire the mercy of our God. He is not far from any one of us. It has been said that great moments come from great opportunity, and that's what you have right now. The opportunity to come to God, to declare your unrighteousness, tell Him that you want to depend on Him. He will be your God, you will be His child, and He will remember your sins no more. And if you have any other prayer that you are needing to hear, if you need help in any which way, let it be known, brethren. Don't walk out that door with anything lying heavy on your heart. This is where the healing begins. This is the Lord's church. God bless you all. Come forward now while we stand and sing.